And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear. You know, what I'm doing is I want to send James Corbett. He has a, God, what do you say, four-year-old son. And all these futuristic rocket man kind of flying car stuff. There's a bunch of them. I got, probably send them at least, five, ten, you know, just top of my head whenever I want to wow some kid or anybody. I go, really? Let me show you this. Boom, 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 boom. And a lot of this stuff is real. I mean, it's already manifest. It's just prototype of already doing it. I'm going, damn. You start getting four-year-olds. I think about it. I was born in 61. The space race got really going, you know, by the time I was aware of anything. You know, the Jetsons were, I think, 62, 63. You had the space race going on all through my grade school years, you know, into, you know, the early 70s. So I grew up going and Star Trek, 2001, Space Odyssey, landing on the freaking moon. The freaking moon! I mean, you know, this, how could this not have an impact? Well, it does. And guys like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, you know, they go, I'm going to be a gazillionaire and make a bunch of money so I can go to space, you know, and live on Mars and whatever. And die on Mars, preferably not on impact. So I'm going, okay, this is, you know, the kind of inspire these kids for that, but you got to give them tools, you know, things to, you know, to get to there, you know, learn little things, you know, science and math. And you little, you go, oh, we got to do a little circuitry here and a little Raspberry Pi there and a little, you know, something. So at least they know what they need to know. Now, all of a sudden, they're 16 and go, what, somebody's just not going to deliver me a flying car? Well, I thought I got delivered when I graduated. I turned 16. Where's the keys to my flying car? I mean, if you don't do that, oh, here's a good one. We were in at the Red Pill Expo, and Robert Kiyosaki was one of the speakers, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it was Poor Dad, Rich Dad, something like that. But the it was a great presentation, and the bottom line is just cash flow. I mean, you know, you got, yeah, income, you got expenses, you have liabilities and assets. I mean, you know, it's, do you have, and bottom line is, you need to get performing assets. You need to have, you know, some of your stuff, not be a bill that you pay. You got to have it give you income that goes back into your income. I got an asset, making it, you know, it's like that crypto mining when it used to make money, you know? So you do, you know, this kind of stuff. You know, do I put something in that's making me something? You know, like a farm, you know? Am I growing something? Do I got a mine? Do I got, you know, intellectual property that's making something? Do I got a book? Do I got, you know, something, you know, that's making money? You know, a lot of times you have rental homes or you do whatever it is. Don't have a big bill or a mortgage if it's not, you know, at least paying, you know, the payment. I mean, so there's that kind of deal. Well, to teach this to the next generation, the kids, you know, what business is and how to make some money and how to, you know, get. And the biggest thing I tell them, I go, look, I'm going to pay you in silver and keep it in your little safe, you little snot. You know, no spending it. You take, you know, it's savings. Well, savings for what? Well, for, like, delayed spending. You save up. I tell you what, you can do this when you get a house, you know, or something like that. So that's not really the best advice. Much better advice is what, you know, Robert Kiyosaki is saying. Look, you want to have investment, you know, that in money that makes more money. If you can figure out whatever that is, you get something that's making you more, like a fleet of lawnmowers and your little junior high friends out there mowing for you, or babysitting, you know, for you, or a club of walking dogs, or, you know, whatever the heck it is, be a little entrepreneur and have money coming in. You know, your money should be making you money, that kind of deal. So how do you do that? Well, in the late 90s, Kiyosaki did a board game called Cash Flow. I think that's what it's called, Cash Flow. So as he's talking and doing and why he did it and how, and nobody teaches it. So I remember my school day, they don't teach you any of this stuff. You know, I remember one class had, okay, this is how to balance a checkbook and get in the system. And I'm like, yay, you know, that just makes you a drone. So I go, yep, ordered it, boom. Wife's computer is there, get it or Amazon, that, boom, gimme. Ooh, did I say Amazon out loud? But anyway, so I get this. It's coming. It hadn't come yet, but I'm looking forward to get it. It should be here like any day. I should go check it. But I'm going, that is interesting to play with the kids and teach them about how money really works. What happens if you get, and an inspiration of a four-year-old, I want to do whatever, how to get it, how to live that life, you know, how to have these options, how to get educated on things that you find of interest. I was watching last night, you know, I should put it up. It was Mike Rowe, I think that's his name. He's from Deadliest Catch, Discovery Channel, Dirtiest Jobs, you know, the voice for Deadliest Catch, but he does, you know, Dirty Jobs. And he does a TED Talk talking to a bunch of liberals, and he's kind of, and he goes, you know, there's a war on work. You know, the guys, all this infrastructure you're talking about, all these creating jobs they want to do, what kind of jobs do you think they're going to be? There's going to be guys in the trades. There's going to be guys pouring concrete and, you know, fixing bridges and, you know, scooping up and laying down and heavy equipment and providing know-how and rebar tying of, you know, making and welding and stuff. You know, these you want to know what good playing character? He goes, but there's fewer pipe fitters, fewer this, fewer that. And they're going up in value. The infrastructure is crumbling. We don't have, and everybody's going, oh, you worked, you know. Well, he goes, yeah, I mean, you know, maximize the pleasure, minimize the pain kind of thing, but damn, why is there a war on work? You know, these people have been, and they're happy. I got that, you know, he goes, you know, the roadkill cleaner-upper guys, whistle while they work. Crap you not. He goes, you know, why? You know, they're working. You know, they're getting paid, making a living. They're outside to do it, kind of, you know, it's kind of, I remember a book that was called Then Beggars Could Ride. It was just a pulp fiction piece of on the side of the road when I was 12 years old on vacation, reading in the car of give me science fiction as something I'll try not to throw up in the back seat while I'm reading a book, okay? Which was hard. So I go, all right. So I'm reading, it's called Then Beggars Could Ride. And it really influential on me. It was a little sci-fi thing. But what it was about is in there they had to wear, you know, this is in the mid-70s, and you had a helmet on that you could be Captain Kirk of the Star Trek, and it was describing a holodeck. And I mean, I go, woo-hoo-hoo! And it's like 16 hours later, he comes out and, you know, save the planet or something, right? So, but what the whole book was about, the reason they called it Then Beggars Could Ride, if wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. And I always heard that, but I never understood what the hell they were talking about. If wishes were, I wish I had this, I wish, well, if a wish was a horse, then, you know, a beggar could ride, you know, but they're not. Well, the point was, this whole thing in the future, you lived in a mim. They called them mims, mimicries, to where you were in 1920s, roaring 20s U.S., or you were in Rome, or, you know, ancient Rome, or you're a medieval knight. It's kind of like Westworld. You know, you got to pick where you live. That's where you live. You lived in a mim. Now, of course, everything's made of carbon fiber, and it's super great and wonderful and lasting, and the sailing ships has, you know, Kevlar sails that never go bad, or, you know, that kind of crap. But you lived that kind of life with a little modern convenience and how, you know, tight you were to the mim. And then you had the tech guys that kind of ran everything, kind of like Harrison Bergeron kind of deal. But the point was, is that I remember one point, different cultures, you know, you have like the Pima Indians where it's a matriarchal, the women kind of are in charge, or you have a polygamist, you know, is that really better or not? And he's traveling around these different mims trying to find a home. Well, when you have the guy, the rich merchant, king, Caesar, being carried around in his chair, he's all fat and unhealthy, and the guy carrying it, who wants to be the guy carrying the guy? They went home, they felt good, they're healthy, didn't have any stress, They got a job. I carry this guy around my shoulder. I get fed well. I'm good. I'm in a mem. Those were the happy guys. From the first letter of Captain Mark. History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, this is, I get to do some more updated research, you know, for James Corbett and his son. And it's, it's been a while since I went and looked. I mean, I have like five or six videos I just know the top of my head, but I need to go find some more co-space stuff, space stations, co-add to the, wow, Papa, you be, man, woo. My grandkids called me Papa. I was into this grandfather thing, man. I was looking forward to that. Grandfather, grandpa, grand. I like the word grand. Freaking, I earned it, man. I want some grand in there. Well, you know, your grandkids name you. That's just how it works. So grandma became Gamma, you know, because our oldest little, you know, Kaylee, she's like, you know, Gamma. Well, fine, Gamma. It's Gamma. Then, you know, it's a Papa. I don't know how Papa, whatever. It's because that's what they can say. So Gamma and Papa. That suits me, man. You know, your grandkids get to name you. But they go, Papa, I need this, and Papa, I want, do me and entertain me and, you know, whatever. So whenever you got this 15-minute thing, you want to keep them entertained, or it's, you know, too hot outside or too cold or too something, you got, you know, what do you want? And I don't want them just brain dead watching TV, you know, unless it's like Thunderbirds or Jetsons or something like that. And so it's all inspiration, because I remember, man, I was Rocketeer, man, freaking Rocket Man stuff. You know, we had the Olympics in L.A., they had a guy in a jetpack go around the stadium and land. I mean, it was probably a 15-second flight. I was freaking blown away. So, what? What? Anything was possible. Anything was possible. Lunar lander goes, and now they have these big contests for decades. 40 years later, they're giving millions of dollars for them to, like, land a drone on its own, or the first stage. I'm going, God, didn't you guys do that already? What the hell is the problem with you guys? Drones start coming out. You have drones, and they kind of difficult to fly. They're a pain in the butt, you know? Now they're just like, you take your hands off the thing, and they just stop. GPS, accelerometer, gyroscoping on a chip, kind of whatever, boom, done. Just rock solid and quiet. You know, I saw, God, where was it? Yeah, I think it was at Pork Fest. One of the guys had, where was I? I think it was Pork Fest. Who was it? Anyway, it was one of these little fold-up drones. You know, I think Parrot now has the arms fold in, the blades fold in. You got a nice little controller that goes right onto the phone, goes into it like the joysticks on the side of the phone. It was awesome. And it was like $1,200. And I got a nice a Solo 3D that, you know, is pretty good. You know, I got to get a tablet that interfaces better. But it was just, this is awesome. Now we got to where we can actually do something. You can go take video. I go out in the desert, or I need real estate, or I'm looking at land, or I want to go just get a cool shot of what I got, a drone. You know, and these fold up. You can put it in a purse, you know, put it in your backpack, your camper thing. flip that sucker open, and you go, man, as a kid, I had access to this stuff as a 12-year-old, and some are. I mean, you're very excited. Go to the hacker spaces, doing all this stuff. They're getting into it. But not enough. Why? I mean, I say not enough. I'm just going, every freaking 7-year-old isn't all over this. Begging, scrapping together quarters, mowing lawns, back when they used to, lemonade stands to get this kind of stuff. That's what we did. That's what we were doing to get all the cool stuff, like our Daisy BB guns. You know, and whatever the heck we needed, we would work our butts off because we could. That's beaten out of us. It's not there anymore. You don't need it. You don't want it. You know, it's either made of crap anyway, or you can't make a living. You don't have a job, and you're not allowed until you're 15 and a half under government supervision. Now, so what? No. So was it landscapers suing little kids? You know, we had, Permit Peggy or whatever? I didn't really get into why, whether the hell her problem was, but she just got the crap beat out of her on the internet because she called the cops on some little girl selling water without a permit or something. And I'm going, yeah, lawn Nazis. Your grass is more than 3.5 inches or whatever. So I'm looking forward to doing this again. It's been a long time. You know, Jetman. Oh yeah. We were talking to James Corbett about, you know, some of this stuff. He's like, what? You know, I'm going, oh, you want to? I go, just look at a couple of these videos. Just, they're only a minute or something during the break. And I go, just take a look at this. You got a 4-year-old son? Yeah, I'll make his head go boom. Because I have my grandkids and they get older. So I still have, Easton is only, God, he's only like 6 months old. And Colton's 2. You know, so two of the littler kids, I got a whole nother wave of grandsons that I can just wow with. And of course, their cousins are going to be going, ah, we already knew that. Well, we already flew in that. My daddy took me on vacation and we ordered a flying car and we went from here to here. We already did. That's so old. Yeah, it's coming. We're all going to be like little kids. Biggest thing is going to be energy. I'm really hammering. This is one thing. A friend of mine, he's out on vacation or taking care of family business back east and different stuff. When he comes back, you know, because he's my, you know, electrical expert. Yeah. Right. Oh, APS was out here yesterday. You know, Arizona Public Service, electric guys, they replaced a bunch of more lines. They're just going, we got to up it over there. He's, you know, using some power, you know, for, you know, I'm doing some mining, but they're going, oh, no. We got to get him taken care of because, you know, I'm glad that they're doing that. You know, finally found every freaking weak point in this grid. I can tell you that. If I tell you the biggest weak point, they got you by the balls when it comes to the bill. So I'm just been waiting on the ability to have an inverter that you can, you know, a power controlling system to where I can take from the grid, solar panels, hydro, wind, whatever, doesn't matter, and battery, and be able to combine the two to get the least amount of cost in electricity, depending on peaks, when, and just shut them off, you know, when it gets too much. But I want to extend that a little bit. I want to have it cheaper when I'm doing it. I want to, you know, be able to pull from here and when the sun's be a shining or not, or how late into the evening and help and kind of, you know, and manage the power. I can just program it. It's called a keyboard. You can't do this? It was amazing to me that this technology wasn't more advanced. Now, maybe for big, giant, oh my God machines, you know, for businesses if I'm a casino or something, but because they do a lot of batteries. A lot of guys I know there for a while, they were pretty available. You get these lithium ion battery packs that they'd change out every year or two in the Las Vegas casinos. Because when the power went out, they'd go, the power. Yeah, hell no. We're keeping our power on, I don't know, security systems and making money and doing the casino lights of emergency, whatever the hell. Terrorist attack of, you know, we just don't want to miss out on making money. So they have battery backup for all kinds of stuff. Well, they change those out regularly. Who gets them? Pick me. And there's some guys that were doing it. Well, then now they're gone. Well, the thing is that they're getting so much cheaper in mass production with the gigafactories and Tesla and so on that all of a sudden battery capacity, it's going, let me tell you what it's like. Cell phones, computers, how many more features, how more powerful, and it's still about $1,200. You know, for $1,000, you get a lot of computer. Well, for $1,000, you get a lot of battery, and it keeps getting more to the point we might be free. What about that?
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
So either you're with us, or you're with somebody else, or you're all by yourself.
Oh, we're going to get us some Warbia coming. You know, just, peace and sigh. Just made me think of it. I mean, you know, I'm worried that we're not going to really understand what's coming, and they're going to try and convince us it's something that it's not. So tomorrow, I think I'm doing it today. Donna doesn't have, where's my, next to my heart. Well, we have a guy from the QAnon coming on, and it's I met him at Red Pill Expo, and they got a big, giant bunch of guys there, big sign, and it said Q, 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 Q. I'm going, all right, so tell me all about it. Then I go, well, what do you want to ask? What do you want? What do you mean, what do I want? I want to know why they're doing it this way. Just say it! Say it! Well, this guy there was a plane, a C-130, I think it was, or C-5, I think a C-130, that got bumped by a Chinese fighter jet, and I think he went down. I don't know if he was killed or what, but they got a little close, and somehow they bumped, and they had to land. So they go and land, or it was part of a plan to land, or a way to get to land, or some weird, God knows what goes on. I never believe anything they say anyway. But the, Donna. What?
I just got an email from him. He's not ready to
come. Aha!
So we're going to reschedule. I sent you the email, but anyway, so it won't be today. Probably okay. After you get back.
All right. Yeah, see, these QAnon guys, man, they like talking, but they don't want to be asked questions. He was very concerned about questions. Well, anyway, he was one of the guys that actually physically worked on that plane. He's a, wizard and warlock of, Q talks about in the surveillance crowd, or they're going to explain it to me. And I'm going, good, this would be awesome. Get your butt on and do it. Praying Medic, they go, well, what do you know? I go, well, I've watched the Praying Medic videos when I was driving from San Diego here. You know, my son was all on my butt. I should, whatever. And I'm watching this stuff, and what happens is I just feel so psyoped. It might as well be Trump. I mean, there's something weird going. Trust the plan. So I'm talking to him. I'm going, look, I need the plan. What the hell is the plan? I get to be free? I mean, what? You're just going to beat these guys up? You're going to be in charge now? I mean, what is the plan? And they're uncomfortable with this stuff. So what do you mean he's not ready? And he sent me an email. He wanted to know what I was going to ask him.
Yeah. The only thing he said this morning was Q has been very busy and I haven't had time to prepare for it. I forwarded you the email that he sent me. It was just very short and sweet, and I can't do it now because I'm not ready. And
been a common thing with all of them?
Yes.
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 Yes. I mean, they're nice. I mean, I'm standing there talking to them for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, at the thing. Kind of, all right, if you're willing to come, because he had a bunch of his guys around. And they're all, yeah, go do it. Get him. You know, a lot of support. Well, does he want to do it? Why wouldn't he want to do it? What is it that's so secret? So this QAnon thing, I'm calling BS on it until I, feel otherwise. Because I'm just feeling
manipulated. Just on a side note, did you happen to read Vin Soprinowitz's article about it?
No. Did you?
I got half of it done. Maybe, perhaps it's something you could just read Ben! On the air.
No,
because
Ben.
Because there was a video
no, have Ben
to go
come
with
on.
It, but it was
Ben.
Very interesting.
Give me Ben.
It was from yesterday's.
Okay. It's up on Freedom's Phoenix. I saw that there. Yeah, that's one thing. I got to.
You could just read it. I mean, I'm not vouching for anything. I'm just
Ben
saying.
Ben doesn't write short stuff.
No, well,
It's, okay, what time is it? All right. You think I could do it in a segment?
It's a possibility, but there's a 5-minute video he asked you to listen to first about Trump. It was before he was elected president. So you can scan it.
why am I watching the bit just to, you know, like, you know, he said something, then not say something, or
it
what?
It was all the things that Trump was saying on the campaign trail as to he understands the deep state and nobody's saying this stuff and blah, blah, blah. So it was...
Well, it was complimentary?
Actually, it was complimentary to Trump. So I, like I said, I got through half of the article from Vin, and I did listen to the five-minute video first, because that's what he suggested. It's just a perspective that he was providing.
Well, okay, Vin Cernowitz is a retired Las Vegas Review-Journal editor, and a biggest newspaper there, and he is, and it's called To Cue or Not to Cue, Red Pills, Rabbit Holes, and Reflections. And it was, I saw the article there, whatever Vin, you know, writes, I read, you know, because he's the man. But I haven't got to this one yet. I mean, you know, I got a bunch of the man guys and the women, you know, that got some cool stuff. And just to keep up with that, God forbid you put all this cool stuff every day on Freedom's Phoenix to like 50 freaking things
a
day.
Hard to get everything. But
you know, we put it up there, but people, I'm going, heck, I don't get through all of it. I mean, all you guys that, you know, when we travel, we get a lot of compliments on Freedom's Phoenix. They're like, oh man, this is the greatest. I'm going, holy crap, you got time to read all that stuff? Yeah, get a life.
I know, but you know, I just was interested. Not that I believe or disbelieve the Q thing, because honestly, I just don't know. I've heard compelling things either way, but I was interested in Vin's take on it. And so anyway, it just provided a perspective is all I'm saying.
Well, this says brunette here. This is
that's probably his
Amy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so she wrote it.
She probably posted it for him, but this is definitely all Vin.
Nah, you think? Let me get to the end. God, this is long, man.
It's a narrow column, so.
I'm just wondering if it's Amy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Amy might have did it. All right, well, I'll go ahead. All right, plan on that. When we come back, I'll just start reading it because see how much time I got. All right, I'll start it off. Brunette here, which usually means she's writing on his page. Chances are by now you have at least heard of Q, a.k.a. QAnon, an 8chan poster who appears to be intimately familiar with the Trump administration. Whether to take Q seriously is a personal decision. As Q says, the choice to know will be yours. If you're curious, good for you. The world needs more curiosity and less ideological rigidity. Q frequently links to this short video. This video will get Donald Trump elected. Please listen to that before reading further. However you feel about Trump, especially if you're on the fence or dislike him without being clear as to why, it's beautifully done and a brilliant summary of Trump's mission as POTUS, essential viewing. I've seen this before. This will get him elected. I thought it also had a bunch of anti-Hillary stuff in it or something. Whatever, doesn't matter. Having watched this video, has your perception of Trump the man changed at all? And if so, how? Before diving into Q, try a thought experiment with you. Imagine you are Donald Trump. You've said for years when repeatedly asked in interviews that you don't want to run for president, it's a mean life, as it surely is, and you're happy with your extraordinarily successful life, family, and business empire. You do care deeply about your country and hope that someone who understands the problems facing America will rise to the occasion and run for office. You watch as successive administrations becomes increasingly incompetent and corrupt to the point where the America you love is teetering on the verge of an engineered collapse, economic, cultural, and moral, into an abyss of despair and decay. You decide to do something about it. You run for President of the United States of America. And somehow, in spite of intractable resistance, you win. And that's where the fun really begins. After all, you have all those campaign promises to keep, and you intend to keep them. All the odds are seemingly stacked against you. Left and right, the establishment seeks to undermine you. Mainstream media at first treats your campaign like a joke, then as an unmitigated disaster, and lastly, rightly, as an existential threat. Academia and the arts and entertainment industries, long dominated by the so-called liberal left, lurch from laughter to loathing, from boisterous marches to violent protests, from constant and exhausting outrage to rabid panic. Fake news is not your friend. Quite the opposite. Hollywood hates you so much that their masks drop. And academia desperately displays ignorance and intolerance towards you and all who support you or even offer you an open mind. All right, we'll pick it up from there. So he'll get in this Q thing. I'm telling you, man, I'm getting these guys. I'd be nice. I don't know enough to criticize or what. I don't care. You know, I just, all right, explain it to me. And for some reason, they want to talk about it, but they don't want to take questions. I don't know why. We'll see. Maybe this guy will help us out. We'll be right back. From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
You're listening to the best Liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Wow! 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 I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
So good! So good!
I got a year!
Woo!
I feel nice!
Wow, 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 wow.
A sugar and spice!
Wow, 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 wow.
I feel
welcome back
nice.
To Declare Your Independence! I tell you, I'm feeling good because I'm going through all these kind of cool things, four-year-old for James Corbett's kids, and I'm like, damn, there's a lot of this. You know, it keeps getting added to. You know, here, look at this one. Look at this one. You get three or four. Now it's like, you know, 15 videos and you get 1 minute, 2 minute, you know, inspiration. If you're like, holy crap. You know, I can't imagine what it would have done to me at 6 years old. I mean, think about it. I was, God, how old was I when the moon landing? What was that? 69, July 69, I think it was. So that would be, I was 8 years old. You know, eight, and building up to that, and going around the moon, and Apollo 13 almost dying, all this stuff, I'm just like, you know, glued to the launches and the Saturn. I lived in Florida, so the Saturn V, you know, this big, everything was space burger, this and that, and I tell you, that was a big-ass rocket. They're getting the big-ass rockets now, getting more big-ass, and they're still not even close to the big-ass of the Saturn V big-ass. But they're getting better and getting lighter and getting stronger and getting. All right, go back to the Q thing. There's a graphic that he has here that's kind of interesting. And it says, and it has Trump sitting at some meeting at the White House, you know, the little photo op in their chairs and so on. So Trump's sitting there with his hands between his legs, you know, kind of open, his hands between his knees. And then you have Trudeau, the Canadian foreign minister, I think it's him, and he's got his knees together, like, you know, at the ankles, kind of like he's a woman or something, and it says, what keeps a man's knees from touching when he sits? Balls! You know, so this is kind of the attitude of this thing. All right. Further, you know that your adversaries, many of them, we're talking about the, you know, Q thing from on Vince Pernowitz's page, and I think Amy, you know, his significant, might have been the one that wrote this. Further, you know that your adversaries, many of them highly placed in government and or the media, will stop at nothing to harm you, your loved ones, and even ordinary supporters. You also know that there are many good people trapped by and beneath a rotten system, and what you most need to do is remind those good people of the power they possess, revive their spirits, lift their voices, renew their hopes, inspire them to dream of a brighter future. You know, with their help, you'll be successful, but you will need their help and wish to earn their trust in order to achieve the Herculean mission of draining the swamp, a labor of love if there ever was one. Now that you perhaps gained an inkling of what it must be like to be in Donald Trump's shoes, on to Q. What Q represents, to my mind, is A, an effort on the part of the Trump administration to be transparent in ways that would otherwise be impossible. to give concerned citizens a peek behind the scenes without revealing too much detail about ongoing investigations or prosecutions, of which there are likely many. Okay, I'm kind of thinking that's kind of what's going on. I might as well be Trump, you know. B, crowdsourcing a people's investigation throughout the 8chan and various social media communities, energizing dedicated researchers who dig up revealing details and make significant connections from open, if obscure, sources, a brilliant strategy to bring shady dealings and shadowy figures towards the light. At zero taxpayer expense, bypassing a corrupt FBI, etc. Genius. I give you that one too. Because that was one thing that I was going, is it so cryptic because they just don't want to tell you, because then you won't have the context. You won't understand what's really going on. You have to go research. You had just enough information to go find out yourself and fill in your own details and add to their investigation. It's like crowdsourcing, you know, investigation on the internet with the peoples. I'm going, okay, that's cool. C, Q serves as an inspiration and mentor to many younger people hungry for male guidance, and I suspect will ultimately prove an effective recruitment tool to attract the best and the brightest to careers where they'll eventually replace corrupt swamp dwellers among the intelligence agencies, diplomatic branches, and the military, etc. Again, an eloquently brilliant strategy once you grasp it. All right. So who is Q? Well, the fun part is no one really knows, although there's a lot of speculation. I suspect Q is a team of several people, one of whom would be Trump himself, and maybe other family members. Apparently, Q intends to reveal his, her, their identity at some point, though I'm rather enjoying the mystery of it all. All right. One of the Q posts has it. You are learning. How many coincidences before it becomes mathematically impossible? Wait until you learn who has been talking to you here. Q. Ooh. Yeah, see, who might it be? Ivanka! I mean, you don't know. When I initially encountered references to Q or QAnon online back in November, I didn't pay much attention. After all, such mysterious inside sources seem to pop up regularly online, and generally, I consider them a sometimes entertaining, sometimes treacherous diversion, but not worth a substantial investment of time and or attention. As well, some people I think highly of were dismissive. I can certainly understand people who don't want to be bothered and prefer to follow their own drummer. Nothing wrong with that. What eventually did catch my attention about Q was that he, she, they vaguely reminded me of some Cicada 3301 puzzles that I'd also found quite intriguing. Secondly, I found that I liked Q. Having spent much of the last few years exploring various rabbit holes, I found that Q's posts, referred to as drops or crumbs, cryptic as they often are, rang true for me. Somehow, it made dark but familiar territory less depressing to see Q shining light into places that desperately needed a spotlight. It's probably fair to say that most people, sensibly, won't crawl down dim and dismal rabbit holes. The flip side of that is that many remain blissfully ignorant of serious problems plaguing the world, governments, and social institutions. Those of us who are determined enough to venture into dark places often feel alone and our efforts unappreciated. That's where Twitter came in for me. I don't have a Twitter account. At Jack and his team shenanigans would drive me nuts, but it's a fantastic place to lurk and discover like minds and kindred souls. It's also a good way to track the Q drops or crumbs free from the bewildering environment of 8chan boards. I'll occasionally venture there, but even as a lurker, find it overwhelming and appreciate the many Twitter users who do follow the Q research board and share their findings with the rest of us, a few of my favorites. Lisa May 62 does a great job and is a go-to source for me. Fed up with Swamp. Swampy is feisty and fun, another good source. Praying Medic here in Sedona. Praying Medic Dave is thoughtful and assembles detailed, comprehensive Q threads as well as videos and blog posts. To run the races, aside from actual Q posts, she also spotlights interesting snippets of conversation and conjecture from the boards, a big plus at times. In the Matrix, with three X's, is another good one with lots of memes. Q posts can be found at QAnon.pub. The site periodically updates automatically or refresh the page for new posts. Q does not post every day or on a discernible schedule. Some days there are many posts, other times there are one or two, and some days, even weeks, there are none. Q QProofs.com, QProofs.com, is a recent but growing collection of proofs for doubters and Q newcomers. Also see the page of Q Proofs. Click images to enlarge. Neon Revolt is a more traditional blog that covers Q material worth checking out. Just a brief Q introduction above for anyone who's interested. The past 2 years have changed me a great deal. For readers who find this post surprising, it's no secret I've never been a fan of government, although I liked Reagan, and for a year or two got fired up over some local libertarian campaigns. Even I am surprised to find myself so firmly behind Trump and his people. It's always been important to me to remember that people are first of all individuals, and both good and bad people are found in all walks of life. Trump has made an effort to surround himself with good and competent people. Meanwhile, he seems clear-eyed about the nature of evil and its grip on institutions, both here in the USA and abroad. And truth to tell, I, like many others, pretty much always took Western civilization for granted until I saw how close we were to losing it. Out of sheer obliviousness, 8 years of Barack Obama has bad enough, so I thought, let me bring this down, but I didn't know the half of it, and as much as I disliked the Clintons, I didn't fully appreciate the magnitude of the danger we, the American people, faced. Those facts will emerge over time. I'm afraid many people still don't see Trump the way I do, which is just as well. He's so much smarter than the foes allied against him. His chief strength, in my opinion, is an uncanny ability to weaponize the stupidity and narrow-mindedness of others. It's a joy to behold. All he has to do is be himself and let their true selves emerge in response to him, Trump, the touchstone. And it goes on, you know, but that's a good place to stop. And it's just got a couple paragraphs. But I'll read it into the archive. All right. We'll be right back. Del Bigtree coming on. That'll be pimp. I am looking forward to that, getting caught up with Vax the movie and Del Bigtree talking to the swamp. Okay, let me go ahead and finish this. Lastly, to those who might respond that Q is a LARP or a hoax, think what you want. Decide for yourself, not for anyone else. I respect your decision. Respect mine. It's not the Q proofs, compelling as they are, that tell me Q is the real deal, but my gut. Q is an extension of Trump in one way or another, and I get Trump. It's as useless as arguing with an atheist about God or a leftist about politics. If you think Q is a waste of time, don't waste yours. And don't waste mine either, okay? Thanks. My purpose in writing this is twofold. Primarily to introduce Q to a potentially slightly wider audience. Secondarily, I am sure there are readers who are concerned about kids, spouses, or friends who become avid Q followers and wonder what the fuss is all about. Maybe my thoughts will help, though I recommend you look into Q for yourself. I thank God for this man and for Q too. And God bless everyone who won't hate me for it. That is laughing out loud. All right. So that's Q. Well, if Amy and or Vin says Q's like worth, you know, because a lot of people, man, they are on my ass. And I'm going, God, how much do I got to get? Isn't there like a movie I can watch to get, you know, James Corbett, that's what I need. James, I just feel a, I do think if this is legit, it's Trump. Being managed by Trump, somebody at Trump, you know, you don't know who they are in the back room of a 36-year-old computer geek that knows how to kind of whatever that's working for or doing something directed by and inside a Trump. You know, something. I don't know. And it's being effective in what it's doing. I just need to, all right, explain it to me. Somebody that's inside, why is it this way? What is it? Trust the plan. Okay, why do I got to trust the plan? Why can't you just tell me what the plan, you know, I guess they do. It's interesting. Trump, the movie. So I keep telling Dr. Frank, I'm just waiting for Trump, the movie by, you know, somebody. You know, anyway, Quentin Tarantino. That's who I want to do it. All right, we'll be right back with Del Bigtree. Peace.